Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Senate Committee on Healthcare and Human Services. It's April 16th. And I would like to carry over Senate Bill 365. That's the autism bill. It looks like they were able to hammer out a consensus amendment.
Cool.
And so that's moved to Thursday.
Wow.
What's another?
Really?
The autism bill, right?
The autism
awesome.
Bill. Okay.
And then we're not hearing.
And we're not hearing a 564, or that's one of the DD bills, and Senate Bill 641 we are not going to be hearing because that's what the advocates for the bill said. So with that, shall we go ahead and do 823? So let's open a work session on Senate Bill 823. Sandy, bring us up to date here.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 823, you recall we had a public hearing on the 9th of April, requires the Oregon Health Authority to create a new program and expand existing programs to increase capacity statewide to provide mental health services and serve individuals with mental illness. It has an operative date of January 1, 2014, does declare an emergency effective on passage. You'll recall Senator Courtney and Senator Boquist came and spoke to the crux of the bill. Senator Cruz and Senator Boquist worked on some amendments. What you have is the -3 amendments, which establishes a 6-member mental health oversight committee. It will have 3 senators, 3 representatives on it. Requires the committee to report annually to the Legislative Assembly. And it has a January 2nd, 2016 sunset date on the oversight committee only. And it does have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Any discussion?
Yeah, Madam Chair, the reason for this is a 6-year plan, so we figured the oversight committee ought to last for the 6 years of the plan. So that's why it's that long.
All right.
Madam Chair, I move the -3 amendment to Senate Bill 823.
Senator Cruz moves the -3 amendments into Senate Bill 823. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 823 as amended by the -3 amendments to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral of the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 823 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion?
No. Madam Chair, I had a very lengthy conversation with Dr. Goldberg about this, and it will be the intention to not mess up what the CCOs are doing at this point in time, but this will, at least for a period of time, be running a separate track as we try to figure out how all the pieces fit together, which I think is appropriate. So,
all right.
I just wanted to put that on the record.
Seeing no further discussion, clerk will call the roll.
Senator Henry.
Excused.
Aye.
Senator Shields.
Aye.
Vice Chair.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. With that, I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 823 and open a work session on Senate Bill 136. Sandy.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 136. We've had some lively discussions on this bill. This, you'll recall, is provides that the Oregon State Board of Nursing authorize certified registered nurse anesthetists to write prescriptive drugs. What we have in front of us is the -7 amendments, which allows the CRNAs to prescribe for a supply of 10 days, no refills, and they have to have an established relationship with the individual or the patient on that they're writing the prescription for. We do have the fiscal and the revenue on this. The -7 has a minimal impact and a no revenue.
Madam Chair, I move the -7 amendment to Senate Bill 136.
Senator Cruz moves the -7 amendments into Senate Bill 136. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
It's my understanding that the nurse anesthetists are okay with this.
Yes, they are. And actually, we had everyone go neutral on the bill. So there's no strong opposition, and so we feel this is a good bill.
Thank you. Just want to get that on the record.
You bet. All right. Is there any opposition? The dash sevens are adopted.
I'm trying to move Senate Bill 136 as amended by the dash seven amendments to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 136 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there, clerk will call the roll.
Senator Hayward.
Excused.
Senator Knopf.
Aye.
Senator Shields.
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz.
Aye.
Chairman Jameson.
Aye. Motion carries. I will carry the bill, and I will close the work session on Senate Bill 136 and open a work session on Senate Bill 457. Sandy.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, we had a public hearing on this bill on April 11th. You will recall that this bill is prohibiting insurers that offer a health benefit plan for denying reimbursement for service or supplies covered by the plan or canceling coverage of the insured under the plan based on the insured being in the custody of a county sheriff's office. Madam Chair, there was a short work group. I understand that the folks are coming together with potential another amendment, but Madam Chair, we do have a fiscal impact on this bill. So with the dash one amendments, it would need to have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Okay. Colleagues, I talked with the chair of the Ways and Means, explained a little bit about the bill, and wanted to make sure, since the bill is not prime time, they would like to have this bill in Ways and Means. So that is why I would recommend putting in the dash ones and sending it down to Ways and Means.
Madam Chair, I move the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 457.
Senator Cruz moves the dash one amendments into Senate Bill 457. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 457 without recommendation to the floor with a due pass recommendation and request a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 457 as amended to the floor with a due pass, without recommendation to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a request a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Yes.
Yeah, I think maybe there's still some things to be worked out here, personally, I think, which is why I don't want a recommendation. Plus, I think that I don't want this to get in the way of what the Oregon Health Authority is doing relative to Medicaid, which is, you know, I talked to my sheriff. I said, in your prison population, how many have private insurance? He said, less than 10%. So clearly, if we can get this accommodation from CMS on Medicaid funds for inpatient services, it's going to have a much bigger impact on local law enforcement than this would.
And this has generated a lot of talk regarding in-network, out-of-network, when a patient or an inmate becomes a resident of the hospital. There's just a lot of work that needs to be done, or at least clarifications made. So, is there any other discussion? Are we on the amendment or are we on the motion?
We're on the motion.
Okay, clerk will call the roll.
Senator Hayward.
Excused.
Senator Hill.
Aye.
Senator Shields.
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz.
Aye.
Chairman
Wilson. Aye. Motion carries and it is on its way. I will close the work session on Senate Bill 457 and open a work session on Senate Bill 460.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, we had a hearing on this bill on February 28th. We had a brief work session on April 11th. This restricts the substitution of a biosimilar product for prescribing biological products. It has an operative date of January 1, 2014, declares an emergency effective on passage. My understanding that the What's before the committee is the Dash 1 Amendment, which clarifies the biological product as a biosimilar product is interchangeable. The Dash 2 Amendment, which deletes the prescribing practitioner from the retention requirement, and the Dash 6 Amendment, which adds and establishes a sunset date of January 1, 2016 for the physician notification piece. We do have fiscals and revenues back on those three amendments. We do not have a combined amendment, so the committee will have to adopt each amendment separately.
Ready? Yes. Madam Chair, I move the Dash 1 Amendment to Senate Bill 460.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 1 Amendments into Senate Bill 460. Any discussion? Any opposition? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move the Dash 2 Amendment into Senate Bill 460.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 2 Amendments into Senate Bill 460. Any discussion? Any opposition? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move the Dash 6 Amendment into Senate Bill 460.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 6s into Senate Bill 460. And just a comment on this. This amendment actually brought everyone to neutral rather than having strong opposition. So that's why I like the Dash 6s. Okay. Any other discussion?
Could the professional staff or you, Madam Chair, explain what the Dash 6s do?
I'd rather have Jonathan come up to explain the Dash 6s.
No, he went to school with my daughter.
I don't bring that up anymore. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jonathan Eames. I'm here on behalf of Gentech. Senator Seals, the Dash 6s actually sunset the physician notification piece of the bill. We leave the rest of the bill intact just about 2 years. It's January 1st, 2016. So it only sunsets that provision.
Okay. And in Section D, not Section D, is that removed?
Yeah, so it looks confusing. We had a discussion about this. Senator Steiner and Hayward had the same. So when you're from, this is Legislative Council, this is how they sunset individual portions of, if you're sunsetting the entire bill, you would just put a line in there that said that, you know, the whole bill is sunsetted. But when you're doing individual portions, you enact a different section, which enacts everything other than that on January 1st, 2016.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Any other discussion? Any opposition to the Dash 6s? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 460 as amended by the Dash 1, Dash 2, and Dash 6 amendments to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 460 with the 1s, 2s, and 6s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Hayward.
Excused.
Senator
Knopf. Aye.
Senator Shields.
Aye.
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 Wait till she calls your name.
Motion carries, and I'll carry the bill. And I will close the work session on Senate Bill 460 and open a work session on...
Did you announce that we're carrying 572 over?
Oh, okay. We need to carry over Senate Bill 572, so we will not be doing anything with that today. And I will open a work session on Senate Bill 559.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 559 had a public hearing on March 14th. The original measure requires the Department of Human Services to provide adult and developmental disabilities needing comprehensive services at least three options for residential care, requires equal access to job placements for all adults with developmental disabilities receiving comprehensive services. Madam Chair, this was Senator Steiner Haywood put a group together, and she has asked that I just read her explanation of the Dash 2 amendments that are before the committee. The Dash 2 amendments clarifies language and will require the DHS will present three appropriate placement setting options. However, an exception was added for when someone makes a request for a geographic preference and their options are not available in that area. And
okay.
Yes. And Madam Chair, there is a fiscal impact on the Dash 2 amendments, so this will be, this, it is requested that this bill go to Ways and Means.
Okay. All right. Madam Chair, I move the Dash 2 amendment to Senate Bill 559.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 2 amendments into Senate Bill 559. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 559, as amended by the dash two amendments, to the floor to do pass the recommendation and request a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 559, as amended, to the floor with a do pass recommendation with and request a referral to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Hurd.
Excused.
Senator Knill.
Aye.
Senator Shields.
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz.
Aye.
Chairman Simpson.
Aye. Motion carries, and it's on its way. And like I said, we are not hearing 464, and I would like to open the work session on Senate Bill 640.
Madam Chair, this bill also was heard on March 14th. This was part of the package relating to adults with developmental disabilities. This, too, has a dash three amendment, and again, Senator Steiner Hayward has a brief explanation for that amendment, if the committee would like me to put
yes,
that
please.
On the record. Senate Bill 640 with the dash threes, these amendments state that DHS will establish rules around providing a detailed accounting of how service rates are determined. Additionally, DHS will establish rules around creating a complaint process for when a request for a reevaluation of an individualized written service plan does not occur or a detailed accounting of the service rates is not received. Madam Chair, this, too, has a fiscal impact statement on the dash three, so if the committee so chooses, it will need to be referred down to Ways and Means.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I move the dash three amendment to Senate Bill 640.
Senator Cruz moves the dash three amendments into Senate Bill 640. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 640 as amended by the dash three amendment to the Senate floor with a do pass recommendation and request a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 640 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation and request a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Is there any? Yes, Senator Cruz.
Just for the record, I would like to thank Senator Steiner Hayward for her work on this
and
package.
Staff.
And staff.
Staff. Yeah.
Absolutely, staff. Staff usually does the work anyway, so.
Okay. Thank you. Are we on the motion?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Hayward.
Excused.
Senator Knopf.
Aye.
Senator Shields.
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz.
Aye.
Chairman Simpson.
Aye. Motion carries. And again, like I said, we are not hearing 641, and I would like to open a work session on Senate Bill 436.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 436 requires coordinated care organizations by December 1, 2017 to maximize the use of school-based health centers and to coordinate care with certain programs and entities. Madam Chair, Senator Steiner Hayward got together with the proponents and stakeholders and came up with a dash three amendment. Mr. Riggs is here to talk and walk the committee through the dash three amendment if you so desire.
Yes.
And as he's coming up, the dash three amendment has a fiscal impact statement, but the statement reflects that the bill isn't intended to have a fiscal impact, but it is indeterminate at this time. So,
Mr. Riggs.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Doug Riggs on behalf of the School-Based Healthcare Network, and I'd like to have Paula Hester come up just in case we have any questions that I can't answer. So as you recall, the committee held a hearing on this about a month and a half ago. The only concern expressed during the hearing was whether or not we ought to be mandating the CCOs undertake any new provisions or activities. So we have gone back to draft an amendment which adds some new language that direct your attention on, let's see, 436. Do you have the amendment?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, here it is. Never mind. Line, page one, starting on line 20, we have language that shall to the maximum extent possible, so we've added that. So if there's a reason that that is not possible, that can be avoided. And then we've also added a section on page 3, line 14, allowing the authority to provide incentive grants to pay for any activities that would be required or opted in for this provision. So we believe that that offers both an incentive and an opt-out for CCOs that may or may not be interested in pursuing this. Oh, and then the last thing is we ask that they report back to the legislature on the progress on this activity. So as we said before, we have early learning reform occurring over here. We have education reform going on here. We have healthcare reform going on here. And we believe that school-based health centers are a very good portal to be able to address a lot of the issues for children and kids.
Any other discussion? Yes, Senator Cruz.
Yeah, in discussions we had in my office, recognizing the connectivity of these various enterprises, but also recognizing the necessity of them not being totally mashed together so that all the advocacy still exists where it's appropriate. And I just want to put that on the record to make sure that the connections need to be made, but we aren't necessarily advocating for a total merger of everything here. So,
Madam Chair, Senator Cruz, that's absolutely right. And I think it really varies community by community. And that CCO model was set up to be able to be adaptable. And in some communities, it might make sense that the school-based health center works with all the early learning center programs. In other cases, it might be a different portal. And so this bill is designed so the community itself helps make those decisions.
All right.
Madam Chair, I move the dash 3 amendment to Senate Bill 436.
Senator Cruz moves the dash 3 amendments into Senate Bill 436. Is there any discussion? Senator Opposition? So ordered.
It goes to the floor, right? Again, it's an indeterminate, they do say. I mean, the floor can always refer to Ways and Means, and that's where you want to go, or you can have it on. I don't know what you guys want to do. It says $151,000.
That's over the limit. We
I know. Well, it says it's indeterminate.
We're looking at the fiscal, and it is anticipated to have a fiscal impact. The full impact is indeterminate. It authorizes OHA to provide incentive grants, which we already had explained. And should the bill become law, then the health authority establishes a one full-time limited duration program analyst to position to work with incentive grantees. And it estimates the personal services and related services and supplies for this position to be $151,199 total fund. So I think it's appropriate to request anyway that it be sent to Ways and Means.
I'm sure that does meet, it well exceeds the magic number.
Yes.
So, and with that, Madam Chair, I will move Senate Bill 436 as amended by the Dash 3 amendments to the floor to do pass the recommendation and request a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 436 to the floor as amended with a do pass recommendation and request a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered. And we have one more bill before we...
Did you take a roll?
Oh, and clerk will call the roll. Sorry.
Senator York.
Excuse.
So
aye.
Let's do this
Senator
one.
Shields.
Aye.
And then we'll go to this one.
Okay. You want me to vote? Okay, yes.
I'll vote for him. Aye. Motion carries, and it is on its way to Ways and Means. And I close a work session on Senate Bill 436 and open a work session on Senate Bill 802.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 802 had a public hearing last week, April 8th. You'll recall that this was to provide institutions or programs that are accredited by the Commission on Dental Accreditation of the American Dental Association that they do not need to actively name a licensed dentist as a dental director. The Dental Association had a bit of a concern and offered to have an amendment or come to an agreement and look for accountability by a dentist of record. What you have before you is the Dash 1 amendment that does that. Both parties involved, the community colleges and the Dental Association, are okay with that amendment. We have a fiscal and a revenue. We have a no revenue, and we have a no fiscal impact on the Dash 1 amendment, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 802.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 1 amendments into Senate Bill 802. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 802 as amended by the Dash 1 amendment to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 802 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Harry.
Excused.
Senator Knope.
Aye.
Senator Shields.
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz.
Aye.
Chair Monahan.
Aye. Motion carries, and I'll carry that bill, and I will close the hearing or work session on Senate Bill 802 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 382.
No.
Wait, which one are we going to?
It's a work session on 382 or a public hearing on 373.
All right. So which one's 382?
Is that this is the prior authorization for?
Oh, yes. Okay. So I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 382.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 382 directs the Department of Consumer and Business Services and the Oregon Health Authority to develop a form that providers in the state may use to request prior authorization for prescription benefits. We had a public hearing on the 9th. We had a work session on the 11th. We have before us the Dash 2 amendments, which the Dash 2 requires the providers, well, during our work session on the 11th, there were several issues raised. The Dash 2 amendments, I believe everybody is comfortable with those. It requires that the providers use the form, that the form be used by all the insurers in the state, both public and private, and it adds a requirement that the form include a space for additional information necessary. We do have a fiscal statement on the Dash 2s and a revenue statement.
Do we need?
And Senator Bates would like to speak to the bill.
Do you need to speak to the Dash 2s?
We already have.
Just for a second, if I could.
Yes.
This bill is.
For the record,
State Senator Alan Bates, District 3. For the record, also, this bill is almost perfect, but not quite. There is one word, possibly two words, that need to be clarified. There are technical changes. We plan to do them on the House side. On line 10 of the 382-2s, there is a word in which they reference providers, and we may need to more carefully state what providers can do over the issue of if a credentialing body asks for more information. Can they ask for it? Yes. If they draw their basic information from the central registry. But we want to make it absolutely clear that if, say, a hospital says, okay, we've accepted your, we're credentialing you for the hospital, we've dropped the information from the central credentialing body, we'd like a little more information. They have a right to get that information from the individual that is trying to get credentialed. It's not perfectly clear this to some people. It is to me, but not to others. We're going to fix that on the House side.
That sounds great. Any other discussion?
Okay. I'm just looking. I think we've taken care. I was looking. One of the issues we had was the word deemed.
The word what?
Deemed approved was a term that was in the bill.
Madam Chair, Senator Cruz.
And I'm not sure.
I'm not certain.
These are notes that I wrote on the Dash 1s as we were going through them.
I don't even see it deemed.
And I don't see that in here.
That language is probably removed, I'm guessing.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Okay. And, okay, here, Senator Bates. Here was what I wrote down, and you just tell me if they've been adequately addressed. It was like the 48-hour notice, we're going to make that part of rule potentially. Has that been addressed?
It has been addressed in committee, or not committee, in the work group. There will be at times when more information is going to be required that cannot be obtained in 48 hours in sort of special circumstances. That will be part of the rulemaking.
Okay. And then you already addressed the additional information piece, and I appreciate
yes.
that. Is there a requirement for providers to use the form in here now?
It is mandatory on both sides for providers okay. to use the form.
Okay,
and
the ones were a little squishy on
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
so.
They're the ones getting the greatest benefit here. They better be using it. But, yeah, it is mandatory. Madam Chair, Vice Chair Cruz, it is mandatory. And that's the key part of this bill, that okay. it's mandatory for all parties.
Okay.
And I do remember talking about that a one form, we are hopefully will be going electronically at some point in time, and that is also in the dash twos.
Madam Chair, I said it is line 9.
Yeah.
And it will be there. We have to give the insurers enough time to make those changes in their programs and to match up what we're doing. I think we give them a reasonable amount of time here, almost 2 years, and I think that should be given a chance to do that. This is a bill which we believe is a win-win for everybody involved and can save huge amounts of money for the healthcare system.
Sounds good. All right. Any other discussion?
Great idea. Okay. Madam Chair, I move the dash 2 amendment to Senate Bill 382.
Senator Cruz moves the dash 2 amendments into Senate Bill 382. Is there any discussion? Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to underline that this is not only good policy for healthcare, I think it will also allow hospitals' practices to hire people more quickly and, you know, indirectly is good for employment in this state as well.
Any other discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I'm here, Senate Bill 382 as amended by the dash 2 amendments to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. I ain't going to put a subsequent referral on it.
Okay. Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 382 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Steiner-Hayward.
Excused.
Senator
Knopf.
Aye.
Senator Shields.
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz.
Aye.
Chair Monahan. Motion carries. Senator Bates will carry the bill, and I will close the work session on Senate Bill 382 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 373.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 373 requires coordinated care organizations to provide oral health care through contracts with dental care organization unless no dental care organization provides care in that geographic area served by the CCO. Madam Chair, you should have a dash 5 amendment in your materials. And Senator Bates is here.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. This is a difficult bill. We have tried to thread the needle on this for both sides of this discussion, and I'm going to give you a rough idea of what the bill does. You may hear more from others, and we may need more discussion on this. I've discussed this with the co-chairs today, and we think there may be some significant financial repercussions from this bill. And I believe we will probably ask this to be moved to Ways and Means so we have a good chance to look at that a little more carefully. The bill basically tries to deal with the issue of how DCOs are going to be integrated into CCOs. The original bill passed last session had almost contradictory language in it in that DCOs were supposed to cease existing roughly in 2017. And begin integration during that time in between. What we found was there were several issues involved in this, and most of you have heard about this for the last year and a half as this sort of battle kind of went on. Some CCOs have up to 8 DCOs in their geographical area. It's going to be very difficult for a CCO to contract individually each one of those DCOs. So this bill contains language that says two things about that. One, you can form an LLC, the DCOs or the CCOs can, and run those contracts through one organization, having a uniform contract across the board. Remembering this is only 3% of the total cost of the CCO's budget, they don't want to be tied down for hours and hours and weeks trying to set up contracts with 8 different groups. That's one issue. Second issue is we do not want to lose, in the short run, a well-functioning DCO. Set these panels up and do the software for them and to maintain these DCOs and to manage these patients is a Herculean job. And we don't want any of these to fail. This gives them some assurance that until July 1st, 2017, they have an opportunity to sign a contract that will be honored by both sides. It also says in the bill, however, that if you're not meeting the metrics and you're not fulfilling your contract with the CCO has a right to end that contract. Admittedly, once that contract is ended, they have a right to go to arbitration. The bill has already been passed out of here to discuss that. But essentially, the CCO does have a responsibility to make sure those patients are properly treated, as does the DCO. This bill allows that to happen. And the other thing it allows is for a CCO to form its own panel of dentists, if it so chooses, after it's signed with each of the DCOs in its geographical area. Once that is done, they can form their own panels. At least one CCO has indicated would like to do that. There's also a special mutual agreement statement here that if both sides, the CCO and the DCO, agree not to have a contract, that can go forward. That's aimed primarily at Care Oregon, which is a CCO that has its own DCO. We're not going to force them to contract with 7 other DCOs in the area when they have their own panel and they want to stay with their own panel. So in broad terms, that's what this bill attempts to do. That's the intent of the bill. If the language isn't perfect to get to those areas, that's one of the reasons we'd have it sent down to Ways and Means. I don't think anything needs to be done down there, frankly, with it other than making sure that the financial considerations are carefully vetted and thought about. I think the bill, the way it stands, is the way it should go out. And I will end my testimony there, and if I can, take questions from you.
So we hear the panel.
Yes, Madam Chair. So the way the bill stands, so you don't want the -5 amendments?
That is, I'm sorry. Thank you for the correction, Madam Chair, Senator Canope. I was referring to the Senate Bill 373-5s. I should have made that clear in the first place. I don't think I said for the record again that I'm Senator Alan Bates from District 3. I think I missed that because we changed here. So let me correct that.
Yes.
Further question. Senator Bates, on these -5s, and lines 15 through 17, it talks about the coordinated care organizations and the potential for separation. So the intent of this isn't to set up essentially a new process for dispute resolution. It's to follow the current process in law, correct?
Chair Mons Addison and Senator Canope, that is correct. We wanted to spell it out very carefully because as we put this together in the work group, we want to be perfectly clear that while this gives dental plans some assurance that they can exist till 2017, it's not a carte blanche to do anything they want to. They really have to follow the rules in this.
I think we need to hear the rest of the panel, and then I know there's some opposition to the bill, too, just for your information. And so with that, I'd like to call up Mike Shirtcliffe, Jim Bunn, and Bill Tempest.
And, Madam Chair, I have to go back to another committee.
Okay.
With your permission, I'd like to leave. If you need me back, I'd come back.
Don't pass any bills out of that committee.
Okay. I don't think there's any work sessions in that committee, but I do have to listen. Thank you.
So if a CCO and a DCO likes BTO and wants PTO, what do you do?
You get a GTO and get the hell out of town.
Mm-hmm. Mike.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Dr. Mike Shercliffe, a dentist and the CEO of Advantage Dental. Thank you for the opportunity to present testimony today. I am in concurrence with Senate Bill 373-5 as amended. Many of you know me from my labor, or our labors together in a large work group that laid the foundation for House Bill 3650 in 2011. Much compromise went into that product, and a part of that compromise was a transition period for oral health. This not only preserves hundreds of jobs, but assures access to thousands of low-income Oregonians. The transition provision said CCOs were required to sign contracts with all DCOs in their area. It said by July 1, 2017, DCOs needed to have successfully integrated into CCOs. The Oregon Health Authority contract with DCOs had to end by that date. The bill has three parts. I won't go into them because Senator Bates has done that. I just want to say that I do support the Dash 5 amendments to the bill.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Jim Bunn representing Advantage Dental. Senator Bates covered most of the topics that I was going to. I just wanted to briefly point out the July 1st, 2017 date was pulled directly out of 3650, the transitional provisions. The state did not anticipate DCOs existing beyond that date without having integrated in the CCO process. We think the intent was very clear in that, but this spells it out better. There have been a number of questions over mutually agreed, and everyone working on this, I believe, is in agreement that to mutually agree not to enter a contract is two parties choosing not to do that. Failing to agree is not mutually agreeing, and hopefully if anyone disagreed with that position, they would state it so we don't have a problem down the road. And then I thank Senator Knope and Senator Bates for clarifying that we're not creating a new dispute resolution process.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Bill Tenpass. Work with ODS. We are the CCO for Eastern Oregon, as well as we have the DCO, and we have about 75,000 people in the DCO. We are here as the CCO to support this legislation. We believe that what it does is it ensures access to the 600,000 existing plus patients, the 60,000 that are going to be go from standard to plus on January 1st, and the 200,000 that are yet to be in the system. As you know, integrating both mental and physical health has been a Herculean type situation. We have 9 rural hospitals, and we have the largest geographic area in the state. To not have access to the DCO networks and the administration would be, our estimation, a mistake, because we believe it gives continuity. It gives us time to work into the integration and to put together the quality measures and stuff necessary. As you know, most of the IS systems are not the same. The encounter data and the enrollment data activity is a very important part to make sure that patients are able to enroll effectively, and also then the encounter data to make sure that with the treatment that's being done to these patients. We believe this bill allows that to happen, so we support it, and thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you very much. We may call you back up, but we need to hear the rest of the testimony. Thank you. Deborah Loy, Debbie Farr, and Jeremy Vandehey. Deborah, if you go first.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Deborah Loy. I'm the Executive Director of Government Programs for Capital Dental Care, one of the 8 contracted dental care organizations in the Oregon Health Plan. We cover about 200,000 lives in 18 counties statewide. Sorry. To say that the trying to have a dental plan integrate has been dramatic, full of angst, full of lots and lots of uncertainty, would be an understatement. Capital Dental Care has been trying to contract with CCOs since August 1st, 2012 when the first CCOs went live. The state has not allowed us to do so, so we're now, the earliest opportunity will be July 1st, 2013, leaving a very small window of a year's time to meet the statute's intent of July 1st, 2014 for all the dental plans to be contracted in the service area. So I think the Dash 5s are a good compromise to some of the issues. We're looking to provide stability to our networks to enter into transformation. We are excited about that. The Dash 5s resolve a particular issue of interest to our plan in that an August 24th, 2012 memo from Bruce Goldberg, which had input from the Oregon Health Authority's Attorney General, took the position from interpreting Senate Bill 1580 and House Bill 3650 that the first dental plan to contract with a CCO, in essence, certified that CCO for dental and allowed that CCO to potentially develop its own network rather than be focused on contracting with all the dental plans in the service area by the statute deadline. Since we are an early engager interested dental plan, I don't choose to want to be the gatekeeper. I also am sensitive to the fact that it will take all of the dental plans to meet the new need that will be coming January 1st, 2014. So I think the Dash 5s help resolve that and bring some stability to the networks of the dental plans.
Thank you.
Chairman Anderson, members of the committee, for the record, Jeremy Vandehey, Government Relations Manager for Kaiser Permanente. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today and provide some comments. Kaiser Permanente is opposed to the bill as well as the amendments. Senate Bill 373 would essentially carve out dental care organizations as the only provider of oral health care for Medicaid unless there isn't a DCO in the geographic area. The Dash 5s essentially, Dash 4s and Dash 5s, I've looked at the Dash 4s and Dash 5s just briefly, I don't have a copy in front of me, but essentially they require that the same thing, that you've got to have a contract with each DCO in the area, or you've got to mutually agree, the CCO and the DCO have to mutually agree not to have a contract together. That leaves a whole bunch of ambiguity around how these organizations are actually going to mutually agree not to contract. I think Mr. Bunn said it best when he said everybody mutually agrees, or everybody agrees how what mutually agrees means, and it doesn't mean failure to agree. So, I mean, just the fact that there's this argument about what mutually agrees means, I think, makes the point that this is really opening up this bill to a lot of confusion. When the legislature passed House Bill 3650, I don't have to tell this committee, the whole purpose of CCOs is to integrate oral, behavioral, physical health care, really become outcome-based and quality-driven, and to require that of any providers that are part of a CCO. This basically moves the current silo that exists at the OHA level right now with DCOs that contract with the state and basically just moves that down and becomes a silo at the CCO level. Kaiser Permanente is not a DCO. We are a Medicaid physical health provider, but we are we do provide dental services on the commercial side, and we do integrate and have integrated for a long time physical health and dental health for our commercial members. This bill and the amendments basically create a permanent obstacle where if Kaiser were to want to be able to offer that same integrated service to members of Medicaid that have Kaiser for physical health, we would have to go out and first contract with every DCO or attempt to try to contract or agree that we mutually agree not to contract with each DCO. And that really basically leaves, would create a huge burden and really, we think, defeat the purpose of what CCOs are really trying to get at. You know, I think I could probably leave it right there. I guess the issue that we really have with this bill is really what the issue is with the current legislation. This seems to really just, there's already a requirement that CCOs have to have a contract with DCOs. That's the transitional provision that the legislature called for to make sure that DCOs were at the table as that integration is figured out in local communities. I'm not sure what this bill does to really solve any issues other than to create more ambiguity and the potential for more litigation if there's disagreement.
Chair Monis Anderson, members of the committee, my name is Debbie Farr, and I'm here on behalf of Trillium Community Health Plan, the CCO in Lane County. Trillium covers approximately 55,000 members. We launched our CCO August 1st, 2012, and since then we've successfully integrated behavioral and physical health, and we're poised to integrate oral health on or before July 1st, 2014, as the legislation directs. We're already in active discussion, contract discussion with the four DCOs in our area, Advantage, Willamette, ODS, and Capital. Our full intent is to have a contract in place with all four by the legislative deadline and possibly as early as October 1st. Senate Bill 373 requires that a contract with each DCO, not any, is, and I want to clarify my written comments because I did say one as the original legislation requires, and actually in the original legislation it said any, prior to adding additional oral health providers to our panel. We have no intention to do that, but we do understand that the need is going to be very great. And one DCO has the potential to delay full integration, as well as prohibiting us from integrating other providers to serve the significant OHP expansion projected for 2014 and beyond. And what this could do, and this is the most important piece for us, is it could mean fewer slots available for dental care, delaying necessary treatment, and this is not in the best interest of the OHP beneficiaries we serve. Senate Bill 373 is not necessary. The original legislation as written is going to do exactly what needs to happen to coordinate care, and that's why coordinated care organizations were created in the first place. So Trillium urges you to uphold the legislation as written and not to pass Senate Bill 373.
Chair Monis Anderson, I'd like to respond to Kaiser's concern. Actually, this amendment, once the CCO has contracted with all the DCOs in the service area, so that could be before July 1st, 2014, they are free to go outside of the dental plans and provide services through their own contract relationships. So that would not preclude HealthShare of Oregon from contracting directly with Kaiser to serve the integrated population they have. HealthShare of Oregon, in a survey the Oregon Health Authority submitted to all the CCOs, indicated that it was not ready or even in entertaining contracting with any of the dental plans until July 1st, 2014, which is basically the end date of the statute. So really, Kaiser could come in to HealthShare of Oregon as a direct contractor with HealthShare at the same time that HealthShare would be contracting with its dental plans.
I see heads shaking their heads in the back and others neutral. So this is obviously, I would like to call up the proponents of the bill again who worked on the amendment. So would that be, I have some questions. Thank you. So the first question I have is why would a CCO have to contract with every DCO, and wouldn't that cause problems, as in the testimony that said one DCO who did not want to contract could delay integration?
Well, Madam Chair, the interpretation that legislative counsel has taken is the word any from the original legislation means all. There's not been a court challenge or something that's changed that. So currently the status is that the CCO must contract with all DCOs by July 1st, 2014. That's currently the law.
Now. Okay. But could one, but I guess the question is on mutually agree or mutually not agree, and would that still delay integration?
Well, the word mutually...
Oh, and say your name for the record, sorry.
For the record, Jim Bunn, representing Advantage Dental. There has been a lot of question about how does any mean all. And to avoid that confusion in the future, I had suggested, as we were in a work group, that we use the word all. Well, apparently, if you say each shall, then you mandate two groups to work together, even if they don't want to work together. And so there is the beginning of the word mutually, that two groups could say, we choose not to sign a contract. It should have been a very simple part. I can't imagine that mutually has become so confusing. So that's why I wanted to clarify, we under no circumstances believe that two groups failing to come to agreement was mutually agreeing that they didn't want a contract.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, that was the issue that we tried to address, was
you
to make
state,
it so
state
that...
State your name.
I'm Mike Cherkoff. I'm sorry. Members of the committee. How do we make it so that a CCO or a DCO can't stop the process? And that's what the intent of this is to do. If you read it in the totality, it accomplishes that. The legal folks are better with words than I am, but that's supposedly what it does. It keeps it so that because a CCO could be to do it on the flip side. It could be a DCO or a CCO. And so what it does is it has orderly transition to get the DCOs in, and then the CCOs can then go out and contract with whomever they want to.
Madam Chair, Bill 10 pass. There is an arbitration clause in the original legislation that would require, if they could not come together with an agreement, they would have to go through their arbitration process. I believe that is fair, because what happens if a CCO offers a legible and good contract, but a DCO decides not to sign it, or the opposite, a CCO wants to limit their DCO participation, so they put out a terrible contract and you decide you can't sign that for some reason, then what happens? It goes to arbitration, and we believe that is the way it should be. It protects both parties from that issue. So we believe that this bill does make that a fair process. I guess the other thing that I would say is, I apologize for going back, but when Kaiser said that they were upset about this, they had an opportunity to be a DCO. They chose not to. And so with that in mind, why this bill now would suddenly be a threat to them, or it would bother them, is of concern to us, because we have taken care of 600,000 people with diminishing budgets for over 20 years. And we've done it at a very good rate for the state. And we've done good service. And I think the issue then is going to be, what is going to happen to assure, if they sign with half the DCOs, the other half are not signed, what happens to enrollment? What happens to the data that we need to share and stuff? We need to have some process where we know that every patient in that CCO is covered by DCO and has access to care. And that's our main concern, access to care. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Mike Cherkoff again. The concern is how do we transition? And when I was asked in the beginning, what's it going to take for oral health to participate in transformation, I said two things. One, if you're going to transform Medicaid and the DCOs do Medicaid, you ought to have DCOs and governance. And number two, we're going to need time to transition. And the reason being is that the complexity of physical health, the hospitals, mental health, and all the stuff that goes with it, and the fragility of the dental network. And all this does, it allows for the DCOs to get in, preserve that network, and then go outside of that and do whatever that needs to be done. But let's don't lose what we have while we're getting there until we build something better. And that's really what all it attempts to do. And the words have to be written so that there's the flexibility if somebody decides not to do it. And that's what it attempts to do. And that's why I agree with Dash 5 amendments.
Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Doug Riggs, and is there anyone else, CCO or DCO, that wants to testify?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Doug Riggs on behalf of Kerrigan. I did want to comment. Kerrigan was not aware of the work group until recently. We were not a part of the work group. Kerrigan has been both an MCO and recently has become a DCO. We've acquired MultiShare, which is one of the DCOs for the Tri-County area. The mutually agreed to languages is difficult to interpret, especially based on the testimony that we've just heard. We believe that it might cause problems with integration over the long term. Corrigan is a part of five different CCOs, and many of our CCOs want to contract with all the DCOs and hope to do so. But we still have concerns about that particular language, and so we would like at least until Thursday, or maybe, I don't know if there's more time, to sit down and try to figure out exactly what that means and what impact that might have on integrating patients into CCOs.
Great. And we know that we did not intend to move the bill, and then Senator Bakes did bring it to our attention that that there had been a work group. So we will carry this bill over to Thursday, and I cannot tell you the fate of it at this point in time. Any other discussion? All right, I'd like to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 373, and we're adjourned.